better believe it. I am too. We've got our faults. Everybody knows we've got our faults. But there is no other place on this planet I'd rather live than the United States of America. And I've had the privilege of being out of this country a couple times, but Matthew tells us all the time, of course, as you guys well know, he spends a lot of time in Europe. And, you know, Europe is a very beautiful place, too. And, you know, there's a lot of places in this country that are in this, on this globe, in this world, where you can go, and it's just as pretty as the United States. But I still, when push comes to shove, in the world we live in today, I want to be in the borders of the United States of America. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, into this series called What is My Purpose? Part 3, What Drives Your Life? And I'm going to do this in two parts, and I'm going to finish it up next Sunday. What drives us? What pushes us? What motivates us? And you can just take the list and go on and go on and go on. But as we look at this subject, these gospel writers are marvelous in how they truly look from the psychology, sociology, all kinds of things that you and I deal with, from the way we make a living, to how we live, to the country we live in, to everything else about who you are, who I am, what drives you in life. You ready to take the journey? Say amen. All right, can you listen to the scripture? 26:3, Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. What drives you? What do you want out of life? And what does the world say it can give you in life? And what does God say he gives you in life? Ready to take the journey? Say amen. Amen. Everyone's life is driven by something. Right? When you get up out of bed, something's going to drive you that day. Okay? Maybe you should get to that cup of coffee first, or whatever it is. But something drives us. Most dictionaries define the verb drive as to guide, control, or direct. Whether you are driving a car, a nail, or a golf ball, you are guiding, controlling, or directing it at that moment. What is the driving force in your life? Right now, you may be driven by a problem, a pressure, or a deadline. You may be driven by a painful memory, haunting fear, or even an unconscious belief. There are hundreds of circumstances, values, and emotions that can drive your life. The writer here names the 5 most common. Now, I want you to listen to this. Let me tell you something. This is the truth. At any time that I look and I study, I read a book, or I look at some of these ministries and write this stuff. I study it out. Does it hit me? If it hits me, I know it hits everyone else. Many people are driven by guilt. Now that may sound funny to you, but listen. They spend their entire lives running from regrets or hiding their shame. Guilt-driven people are manipulated by memories. You have a memory? Remember? Remember what you did? How you did it?
Remember how you treated somebody?
They allow their past to control their future.
What do you think about that?
You know, sometimes we refuse to forgive ourselves of our past. And everybody here is gone. Anybody here perfect? Now, everybody here has got a past. And most of the things that you really remember out of life, and I've said this 100 times, but this is the truth. What you remember the most out of life is what gives you pain. If it caused you pain, you probably will never forget it. Now, some would say, well, maybe it's happiness. Happiness is a good thing. But I promise you, if you got hurt, you had a close call, you've been in an accident, you've had surgery, you broke an arm, you broke a leg, you'd like to die, you don't forget those things because it caused you pain. Now that's just physical. Then you get into the emotional pain. Separation, death, divorce, you name it. There's emotional pain that drives us. We often unconsciously punish by sabotaging. What am I trying to say? Help me, guys. All the educated people here. Sabotage. Thank you. I'll get it. Their own success. People cannot get to where they need to be, whatever the definition you want to give to success, because they cannot get past their past. Most people wander through life and deal with pain and guilt without a purpose. Or if there is a purpose, it is to allow yourself to suffer. You are the only one that controls your pain. Now, I realize if you have physical pain, you have back pain, you have arthritis, you've had surgery, Larry's going through pain with his legs. I realize pain is real, okay? But when it gets right down to it, you control how you get over pain. Number two. Many people are driven by resentment and anger. Believe that? How many people you know that every time you see them, they haven't been in a good mood in 10 years? They're angry, just mad at life, mad in general. Just, they're hard to be around. Because somehow or another, they can't deal with it. They hold on to hurts and never get over them. Instead of releasing their pain through forgiveness, they rehearse it over and over and over and over and over because they never forget it. There comes a time to let it go. We'll talk about how to do that later on. Remember, always hurts you more. Resentment always hurts you more than it does the person you resent. Somebody who angered you, crossed your path, made you mad, hurt your feelings, and you hold that grudge, and you hold that grudge, and you hold that grudge, and you go to your grave with that grudge. And I promise you, for all of the health issues it causes you, all the misery that it causes you. Most people have done forgot what you said to them, but somehow or another you can't forget it. And you got to learn how to do it. Number three, many people are driven by fear. Their fears may be a result of a traumatic experience, unrealistic expectations, growing up in a high-controlled home, Regardless of the cause, fear-driven people often miss great opportunities because they're afraid to venture out. Instead, they play it safe in avoiding risk and trying to maintain the status quo. Fear is self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends you to be. What drives us? What motivates us? You see, what drives us can be something bad or can be something good. But the end result can be totally different. Because we can drive ourselves right straight to the grave. As fast as we can get there. You have to learn to put life in perspective. And to understand that life is not fair. Just go into it knowing that. And there's only one person who can turn that around or make that a difference. And that's who? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, everybody here has had times in their lives when they've had to deal with all of these emotions. Life throws something at you. Life throws a surprise at you. We never know when we get up that day if we're going to go to bed that night. We don't know that. We may not make it home from work. We may get a phone call. We may get anything that can truly, truly, if allowed, destroy our lives. Here's the big one. Many people are driven by materialism. Things. Wow. I work hard. I deserve it. I should be able to buy what I want. The trouble is, sometimes or another, we go buy what we want. Then if we're not ready, we don't know how to pay for it. Or let just a little something go wrong in your income and you're out here on your tail in the street with no home. You see, I work hard, I deserve it. See what the writer said. Their desire to acquire becomes the whole goal of their life. How much can I get? How much can I buy? How big a house can I get? How big a car can I get? How many toys can I have? Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if a person works hard for a living, that they don't deserve to spend it in a way that they want to spend it. As long as we know God deserves that time. Now, sometimes when I understand the thing of tithing and doing it, you know, I say, well, the 90% belongs to me. I'll go do what I want to do. Really, and realistically, none of it belongs to me. When you really think about it, folks, it really it doesn't. God just says, I need 10% to do the ministry. We come together as a group. That's what we do. So we keep the doors open, keep the air conditioning on, do whatever we have to do so that God's word goes forth on this camera or wherever it's going. Now, understanding that, but as long as I also understand that other 90% belongs to God, God would truly, as I need God to bless that. And my dad, and this is not even in the book, I'm going to throw this out to you. My dad drilled this into my head from the time I was 16 years old until the blessing today, he didn't have enough memory to tell me. He said, Roger, it's not what you make. There are people who make $1 million a year and they're more poor than people who make $10,000 a year. So if you make $1 million a year and you spend $2 million, you're going to go to bankruptcy court like anybody else. And he drilled that into my head until I had nightmares. And I didn't listen all the time. But believe when I got later in life, don't think I took that. And this is why for whatever God's grace is has allowed Monica and I to have a decent retirement. It's because if you don't plan for it, you can forget it. The cost of living is going up so high today, it is unreal. But understand this, here's what I believe. I believe this with all of my heart. When you are faithful to God, He is going to be faithful to you, and He will never let you go. About money is that having more will make you more secure. It won't. Wealth can be lost instantaneously through a variety of uncontrollable factors. Real security can only be found in that which can never be taken from you, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man. Is that good? Now, this last one under this, the things in life that motivate us. This may hit some of you right between your eyes, because it did me, because I was this way for a long time. Now, the older I get, I haven't quite been quite this guilty of it, but there's a lot of people that are driven by this. Wow. I want to be loved. I want to be liked. And I'm willing to compromise some things so that people will love me and like me. I want people to approve. I want to be in a circle. The only thing, folks, before you get in a circle, you better find out what that circle is. If that circle is going to hell, everybody in the circle is going to hell. If that circle is going to go to heaven, you just need to understand. You need to respect people. Be careful who you truly trust. And be careful who you hang around. And that goes for anybody that's 10 years old, 16 years old, or 106 years old. They allow the expectations of parents or spouses or children or teachers or friends to control their lives. Many adults are still trying to earn the approval of unpleasable parents. Others are driven by peer pressure, always worried about what others might think. Unfortunately, those who follow the crowd usually get lost. I don't know all the keys to success, but one key to failure is to try to please everyone. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purposes for your life. And nothing can compensate for not knowing them. Not success, wealth, fame, or pleasure. Without a purpose, listen closely, without a purpose, life is motion without meaning. Motion without meaning. Oh yeah, you're moving. But what are you doing? Where are you going? Just going in a circle? Life is a motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless. Now, all of that was good news, but I just pointed out all your faults to you, didn't you? My faults. Well, let me give you a little insight into what's ahead. Because in spite of what drives you, Jesus died. When you truly take on the personality and the calling of Jesus, you'll be surprised what begins to drive you. Here's just some things coming ahead. Knowing your purpose. gives meaning to your life. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. And we're going to spend some time on this next week. Knowing your purpose keeps you focused. Knowing your purpose is really the only thing that should motivate your life. And lastly, knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. Because my purpose here, this is not my final home. I've got another place that I'm heading to one day. And I'm going to have a purpose there as well. But if I don't get it right here, I'm never going to see that there. And to get it right here is to know truly Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What drives us? What gets us up in the morning? What pushes us? If it's all about your job, I feel sorry for you. If it's all about trying to please somebody, I feel sorry for you. If it's all about you, I feel sorry for you. The reason I say that is because I've been there. And believe me, there is no secure job. There's no security in anything. There's no security in your money. No security in your health. No security in your spouse or your children. Love them. There's no security there. The only security that everybody here has is, do you love Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Is it the Lord of your life? Does he drive you? When you get in the wheel of a car, the other day, I was talking to Monica about this. Now, here's technology. Rick is probably... Rick's still in the automobile business, although he should retire, but you know, he's 85 now or 90 or
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, if you're 85, I'm 84, so. But they now make, and General Motors is leading the way, cars that drive themselves, and they're already in the showroom. Yes. Yeah, I'm telling the truth, though, Rick. That's right. That's right. Cadillac's leading the way. But while we were in Florida, because of the ordeal with Ricky Hauser and all that deal, we had to rent a car. And you go out there, and when you rent a car, you go out there and you just pick your car, and I picked this 2019 Camry. Totally different from Monica's car. This car will not let you change lanes with this car coming. It literally will pull you right back in. That thing drove me nuts. Now, you put your turn signal on like you're supposed to, it'll let you do it, but if you don't, you go. It pulls you right back. I'm telling the gospel truth. Now, who's driving these cars today? I mean, before it's over with, you ain't going to have to do nothing. Get in there and say, hey, start and go. Wake me up when I get there. I mean, I don't know whether I'll see it, but the technology is here. Now, just because it will drive you, are you going to let it? Could you go to sleep and turn your life over to a machine doing 75 miles an hour down the interstate? Although I've seen some of you drive, you are letting the machine drive. But here's, of course, the decision on all these cars. You can allow the car to drive it for you, or you can push a button and you can drive it yourself. You make the choice. Who's driving the automobile? Who's driving my life? If I keep it in cruise control all the time and don't learn how to put on the brake, don't learn how to slow down, Satan loves for you, if you'll let me use this phrase to close that, he loves for you to be in cruise control mode. But buddy, you're talking about, even though it's not driving it, It's keeping that speed. If you nod off just a little bit and come up on something, people get killed every day. And I love cruise control when I'm out here. But folks, we got people's lives that's in cruise control, and we're heading right straight to the finish. And they can't see the sea. What drives you? Part two, next week. Are you enjoying the service?
Yes.
I hope so. This is fabulous. Let's stand. Is every head bowed and every eye closed? Father, I thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for those who are here tonight. We wish there was more here, but Father, we are so thankful for those who are here. Our Father, it's been planned through the ages that we would meet here tonight to talk about what drives us, what truly is our purpose of life. Father, as Christian people, we need to understand that Jesus needs to be the head of our lives. He needs to be the driving force. Father, if there be one here today that's lost, Father, we just pray truly that they will come. Say, Brother Roger, I just want to be saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. Let me have a word of prayer with you. And let me let you know that your life will change for eternity and forever. And give your life to Jesus. You need a quiet time with this altar. We're going to invite you to come. If you just need for me to pray with you about something, I would be glad to do that. Father, bless these moments. We know your Holy Spirit is in this place. Jesus' name. As Michael continues to play, would you come in the name of